Hey everybody, I was going to record something today because my little calendar informs me that 1 month ago tomorrow was the first time that I posted an audio on GWA, so that's cool. And I was going to try and do something fun or something interesting. I'll be honest, I don't have it. I slept really badly and woke up very, very grumpy. and I can only imagine the calamitous comedy of errors it would be if I tried to pull something together now. So I'm not going to do that. But I did mention, I think in my AMA, that one of the things that I might do. Oh no, it was probably in The Sound of Rain. One of the things I might do was do a sort of little, almost a call-out audio, I suppose, defining my audio tactile synesthesia and looking to see if we could flush anybody else out who might be synesthetic. I looked up a dictionary definition of synesthesia so that I didn't bumble through it. So I'm going to read that out first. Synesthesia is a condition in which one sense, for example, hearing, is simultaneously perceived as if by one or more additional senses like sight. So common forms of synesthesia join things like letters, shapes, or numbers, or people's names, with sensory perceptions like smell, colour, or flavour. So you may have a friend whose name is Dan, and Dan, when you see him or when you think about him, Dan tastes like strawberries. You're not actually licking strawberry jam off Dan. That's just when Dan is in front of you or in your mind, Dan tastes like strawberries. You don't control that at all. It's exactly the same as hearing something or licking something and just tasting it. I don't control, you know, I lick an ice cream. I don't choose whether I taste it or not. If you have synesthesia and you see Dan, the strawberries are coming and there's nothing you can do about it. So what I have is audio tactile synesthesia, which means that my brain sort of cross-processes sounds that I hear into physical sensations in my body. My nerves respond to them. And according to all the literature and according to my doctors, that is the rarest form of synesthesia. It's the lowest, least reported form of synesthesia. I have a personal theory that that's a crock of shit. My theory is that audio tactile synesthesia is probably exactly as common as every other kind of synesthesia. It's just that quite often you won't realize that that's what's happening to you. Okay, keep in mind, if this is happening to you from the day that you're born, it doesn't register that it wouldn't. Why wouldn't it be happening to everyone else? And the way, particularly in English, the way that people talk about sounds can sometimes give you the erroneous impression that they have synesthesia. You know, people are feeling music and they're being touched by things and they love the way that rain, the sound of rain feels. I'm like, no, you don't. I do. You just hear rain and you like it. It's a sound that you like. I was in my late 20s before it started to occur to me that something was happening to me that is not happening to people around me. And I have another nerve disorder and a couple of other things. So while I was going through the diagnoses for those, this is something that sort of came out in the wash, as it were. You know, my doctor was like, no, darling, that's not normal. No, nobody else does that. It's fine. It's not a problem. It is not a condition that is subject to treatment. And generally speaking, across the board, most synesthetics will tell you that if a doctor could fix it, we wouldn't want them to. There are a lot of very, very positive aspects to particularly, you know, to my form of synesthesia at least, and I mean, I can't talk for the other forms, but I know a number of synesthetics who, for example, smell colours, or for whom certain kinds of visualizations have flavours. And they're like, look, you know, sometimes you walk down the street and you smell something and it stinks real bad, but you wouldn't want a doctor to make you not able to smell things anymore. Sometimes you fall over and hurt yourself, but you don't want a doctor to make it so that your nerves don't work anymore, because if you don't feel pain anymore, you're not feeling anything else either. And synesthesia is a little bit like that. Some aspects of it are uncomfortable and I don't like them. And then there are social runoffs from that, where occasionally I look extremely unreasonable because I'm having this very strong reaction to something, and I need to get away from it because it's causing me pain, or you know, a really, really noticeable discomfort, and it doesn't cause anyone else discomfort. They would say they just don't like it. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. It actually feels like being bitten by ants. This sound feels like being bitten by ants, and I need to get away from it. You wouldn't just stand there and allow yourself to be bitten by a load of ants. But, you know, that is well and truly balanced out by... by the positive aspects of it, wherein, you know, for example, I did the audio about the rain, and when I listen to the rain, when I hear raindrops, rain coming down and rain hitting, oh, and if there's petrichor as well, if there's that smell as well, ha 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 ha. But when that happens, my body is no longer meat wrapped in skin. Doesn't feel like meat wrapped in skin anymore. It feels like I am a pond. I am the surface of a pond. And every individual raindrop sound that makes that sort of that cacophony of rain falling, every individual one of those is landing somewhere on my body, and it causes ripples. You know, if you throw a stone into a pond. So my whole body is just these ripples of very, very pleasant sort of sensation, like somebody is just dropping something really, I don't know, it's the sensations that I get that don't correspond to anything anybody else feels are really, really difficult to describe, and I'm probably making such a hash of it. Long story short, I like it a lot, so I really like the rain. The other one, and I blew my mind when I discovered that this didn't happen to other people. I joined my first choir when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I was like primary school, very little, tiny tacker. And I loved it. And I've been singing ever since. I'm always in choirs. I'm always in singing groups. I'm always going to karaoke, and I absolutely love it. I'm always singing along to the radio. You know, I get a sore throat or something. I get quite upset when I can't sing. It really, really upsets me. It really shakes my feeling of mental health. And everybody seemed to think that was really cute. And, you know, it's nice that she likes to do that so much. I didn't realize that other people don't... If I sing a note that I am also hearing... Okay, so if I produce a note that I'm also hearing... how do I describe this? It's like there is no... It's kind of like being in space, I think. I think it might be like what a lack of gravity is like. There is no pressure anywhere on my skin, and it's like lifting up, but it's also like expanding out. Like my body is breathing in way, 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 way past its normal capacity to do so, and it's just expanding out, and it's this light, floaty, unbelievably pleasant sensation. And the day that I found out that nobody else feels that when they're standing in choir, like fanging along to Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever, I can remember I looked at my best friend, I'm like, why do you go to choir then? What are you doing here? If nobody else is feeling this, why are you here? Like, I'm a dirty addict. I'm here because this feels amazing. Why? What are you doing here? And they're like, oh, we just like to sing. But I imagine that it's a little bit like the closest thing I can imagine is, you know, you have somebody who is blind, for example, and maybe they like going to the movies. You know, they can follow along the story. They can hear it. They enjoy it. They get joy out of it, and they go and they do it anyway. And somebody who is sighted might go, wow, I can't imagine why I would like this if I couldn't see the images, if I couldn't see what was going on. But a person who is blind is like, no, I like it just fine. And I feel like maybe that's the relationship between me and people who don't have audio tactile synesthesia. I cannot grasp what is going on in your day that you don't feel these things, that nobody else is getting set off by this stuff. You're all just wandering around and it's just noise. It's just sounds to you. It's not all sort of sweetness and sunshine. For a while, I was told, and I'm strictly speaking, my doctor still uses this word, but I think it's wrong. I was told that I had what they call misophonia. And that is an irrational anger that you get if somebody's chewing with their mouth open or making sort of really poppy, wet mouth sounds. I had a professor at university who taught philosophy, and I had to give up the class because every time he opened his mouth, it was like there was this wet pop every time he opened his mouth. And I just, by the end of the 45 minutes, it was like a shotgun going off, and I hated him profoundly because the sensation that it makes in my spine is so uncomfortable and so awful. My spine becomes like cellophane, I guess, and it has no strength and it's being crunched, and I'm going to fall over. I'm going to completely lose the ability to stand up if you keep doing it, or at least I think I will, because it is just turning my spine into crinkly, worthless paper. And that's then pulling on things that, you know, spread out from your spine and your back. It's an absolutely miserable sensation. It physically hurts me. So misophonia, which is an irrational anger towards sort of people who are making these mouth sounds, I don't know that that's correct, because I don't think it's irrational to dislike something and to get annoyed when something is hurting you. And I've wondered a lot if people who are diagnosed with things like misophonia don't actually have an irrational anger towards something. What they have is an inability to explain what's going on in their body. They don't know how to make you, as somebody who doesn't have it, understand what's going on. I hurt myself quite a lot. I do a lot of things that sort of damage things. I dislocate joints quite often. I pull things. I've gotten very, very good at describing what's going on with me, certainly compared to a lot of other people, apparently. And the one thing that sort of doctors and physiotherapists keep saying is, it's so useful to have you come in and you can tell me exactly what's going on. Lots and lots of people don't have the ability to describe exactly what's going on in their bodies. And I think that a huge number of people who have been diagnosed with conditions like misophonia probably don't have misophonia. They don't have that. It's not a mental health disorder, like misophonia is generally considered to be. What they have is audio tactile synesthesia. But they don't know how to explain that to a doctor. They don't know how to make a doctor understand what is going on with them. I call out to all my synesthetics. If you smell colours, if Dan tastes like strawberries, or if the sound of rain makes you feel like a pond, hit me up and let me know.